It's okay. It's okay. Yeah, no, it's fine. Thank you. Thank you.
Oh, nothing? Okay. Good morning, everyone. Thanks for coming. We're very pleased to have with us here today the director of the United States Missile Defense Agency, Lieutenant General Henry Obering III. General Obering will give some brief remarks and then take your questions, but please, before asking your questions, if you could just identify yourselves and the news organizations organization you work for, we would greatly appreciate it. So without further ado, I'll turn it over to General Obering.
Thank you very much, Robert. Hopefully everybody can hear me okay. I'm very pleased to be back in Germany. You can tell from my last name, it's where my ancestors came from. And I am very much looking forward to discussions with the German government today and further consultations with other allies in the next several weeks. What I'd like to do is just provide some context and a little bit of background information, and maybe that will open up and spur some questions on your part, and then we can go from there. For the past several years, the United States has been fielding a missile defense system that has been geared toward protecting the United States from North Korea. This certainly came to light and to a tremendous emphasis in the United States last summer when the North Koreans, of course, stacked the seven missiles that they did and launched them in the 4th of July and the 5th of July. And we fortunately, because of investments that we had made over the past 2.5 years, we were able to have a system that we could turn on to protect the United States had those missiles threatened the United States territory. One in particular we know was a long-range missile that they were attempting to fire, and they weren't telling us what was on the top of that missile. Our strategy has been to provide the protection to the United States against North Korea, and then to turn our attention into the threat that we see emerging from Iran. That's why we are finishing up work this year on a radar in the United Kingdom at Fylingdales, and also beginning work on a radar in Greenland, in Tula, and we've been working with the government of Denmark on that. That protection will provide coverage of the United States. Unfortunately, it does not provide coverage for our European allies, our friends, or deployed forces in this region. To that end, we have begun, gotten approval to begin discussions to place missile defense assets in the European region that would protect our allies and friends, as well as the United States, from what we see to be a very serious threat emerging from Iran, a very aggressive missile development program there, and a very aggressive missile test program in Iran. What we would be proposing would be a very small interceptor site, up to 10 interceptors in Poland, a radar in the Czech Republic that would provide tracking for those interceptors, and that we would hopefully begin this work in the next year and have it completed. It's going to take us about 4 or 5 years to do this, have it completed by 2011-2012 timeframe, because we believe certainly by then we're very much concerned about the ability of the Iranians to reach almost all of Europe by that point, and certainly they should also or may also be able to reach the United States. So what we're proposing is clearly geared toward that threat, the Iranian threat. This has caused some what I consider to be consternation and misinformation on the part of some nations. And so one of the reasons that we want to try to visit the various governments, make sure that all of this information is clear and as transparent as we possibly can be about it. And I'd like to address just a couple of those. First of all, I want to make it very clear. These are defensive missiles, defensive interceptors. We have perfected a technology in the United States called hit-to-kill. It's where we actually basically drive what we call a kill vehicle into an enemy warhead. There are no explosives. There is no warhead on these interceptors. It basically is a collection of seekers and the associated rockets to be able to maneuver those seekers to intercept the enemy missile. So we're not proposing any type of offensive capability. These are only defensive. Consequently, the only time that one of these interceptors would be launched is if there had already been a launch of a warhead and of an offensive missile by Iran. And so that's very important to keep in mind. Also, we have been asked about you're just doing this to protect the United States, and it doesn't really protect Europe, and that's just not true. The coverage that these interceptors would provide would cover those nations that would be vulnerable to the long-range threat that we see emerging from Iran. Nations that would not be covered farther to the east are so close to the Iranian threat that they would not be using long-range missiles against those nations anyway. So this is not meant to in any way separate countries in terms of coverage. It covers those countries that would need to be covered against the long-range threat. There's also been a concern about debris, and I'd like to address that. As I said, we've done extensive testing on all ranges of interceptors, from the short to the long-range interceptors. We fully understand what kind of debris is remaining from one of these intercepts, and it is a tremendous amount of energy released when you have one of these intercepts. It basically pulverizes, if I could use that word, the warheads. We know that the particles are extremely small from the debris, and it still has to come back through the atmosphere, and most of that gets burned up. Certainly, it's in any way, shape, or form, it's not a case of where an enemy missile is launched, an interceptor is launched, and debris falls just beneath it. What happens is, after you intercept, the debris continues in the arcs that the interceptor and the missile were flying. So the debris patterns, for the most part, do not fall straight down. We have done calculations to see whatever could make it back to the ground, what kind of casualties that we'd have there. And even in the most densely populated areas, you'd be talking less than 1 in 1,000 chance. That's just a chance of a single casualty. Or 1 in 2.5 million is more the norm when you get into most of the areas of population. And also, one other point to emphasize, it is not whether you have debris or whether you do not have debris. It is whether you have debris or you have a warhead impacting in terms of what you would choose to be able to endure. So we do not believe that debris is a significant issue. And I'll be glad to answer more questions about that. In addition, there has been a strong Russian reaction to what we proposed. I'd like to clarify our engagement and hopefully clarify some of our future plans. First of all, the Russians have announced that it changes the strategic balance between the United States and Russia, and we just outright reject that. Number one, you're talking about 10 interceptors that we would place against potentially hundreds of missiles or thousands of warheads that the Russians maintain. This in no way, shape, or form threatens the Russian missile fleet. It just doesn't, the numbers just don't add up. In addition, the reason we selected Poland and the Czech Republic for the potential positioning of these assets is because it was optimum for the Iranian threat. It is not optimum if we were trying to address the Russian missiles. In fact, they are not positioned to where we can even catch the Russian missiles with these interceptors. So again, from a numbers perspective, from a performance perspective, this does not present a threat to the Russian missile fleet. And the final point in that is we have nothing to gain by doing so. We've had a stable relationship with the Russians for many decades. That's not what changed. The Russians have not changed. The Americans have not changed. What has changed here has been the very aggressive development and testing of missiles by Iran. That's what's changed. And that's what we have to move, we believe, to address that threat, and that we need to do that in a fairly timely manner. One last point on that is we want to be as open and as transparent as possible. We have a standing invitation to the Russians to visit missile defense sites in the United States. As I said, we've actually now deployed interceptors in Alaska and in California, and we've invited them to be able to visit those locations. It would also be acceptable to us if the Russians wanted to visit the European locations. Obviously, it would be up to the host nation governments for that to occur, but it's certainly okay with us. And we will continue consultations. I have been to Moscow going back. I've been to Moscow in November. I personally met with the Minister of Defense and the Chief of their General Staff. There has been discussions with the Russians ongoing about this for over a year. And we will continue to do that. We will continue to engage with them, to have discussions and talks with them, to get experts involved, and that we will we hopefully will again to begin to allay the fears that the Russians may have about this. Also, discussions with allies. I have personally briefed the North Atlantic Council twice. I have briefed the NATO-Russia Council twice. We are in consultations with our NATO allies. The purpose of my trip this week has been to continue those discussions on a bilateral basis. We will re-engage at the NATO collective level in April to further the discussions here. So it is not as if the United States is trying to do this alone. We are trying to make sure that we are as collaborative and consultative as possible as we go through this. But as I said, we do believe there's an urgency with respect to this threat, and we think that we have an obligation to protect the U.S. citizens from this threat and certainly our deployed forces and allies in this region. Okay, with that, I'd be happy to answer any questions.